Hey there, it's Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli, and I want to chat with you about a key ingredient for a fabulous date night, feeling sexy. And come on, let's be real. What you wear plays a big part in how you rock that confidence. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce you to Quince. Quince brings you premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at just $30, along with washable silk tops, 40-karat gold jewelry, and more. And guess what? All of their goodies are priced 50 to 80% lower than similar brands. By teaming up directly with top factories, Quince skipped the middleman and hands us the saving. Plus, they stick to factories with safe, ethical practices and top-notch fabrics and finishes. How awesome is that? Picking from Quince's website was tough, because they have a ton of fabulous choices. I ended up going for their 100% washable silk sleep dress in champagne. And let me tell you, my husband was floored. He's convinced whoever rocks this is in for a blast. I'm going to record some content on that dress so you can see how fabulous is that dress. Elevate your date night style with Quince. Pop over to quince.com/sexology for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexology to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sexology.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 377 of Sexology Podcast. In this new season, we're answering all of your questions about sexual health and overall health of women in their midlife years, specifically those aged 35 to 50. Today, we're focusing on the intersection of fitness and well-being as women approach or experience perimenopause and menopause. In this episode, we're joined by Melissa Vogel, a fitness expert with over 20 years of experience as a certified personal trainer and group fitness instructor. She is the creator of Busy to Bomb Fit Mom and the host of Bomb Mom Podcast. We're going to talk about how body image perceptions evolve for women as they enter middle age and approach menopause. We're going to talk about how you can cultivate self-confidence inside and outside the bedroom. And we're going to talk about practical advice for incorporating fitness into your daily life. And as a special thanks to you guys who have been listening to this show, I wanted to share a resource with you. I created this free book on how to increase your sexual desires, specifically for women. I share some of the tips and information I share with my own clients in that book. You can head over to the show notes and download the book. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Melissa Vogel. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome my friend, fellow podcaster, and women's coach, Melissa Vogel. Melissa, welcome to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
I am very excited about this conversation. I know that for a while we wanted to have this conversation. I'm so glad we're talking about this, because I know you help so many people with cultivating self-confidence. And I know that's an issue that many, many people struggle with. Can you tell us, how did you end up here? How did you become a women's coach focusing on a healthy body and confidence?
Well, I always kind of been involved in like the health and wellness space. I grew up doing like martial arts. I was like cleaning and working at a gym when I was 15 and teaching classes, and they told me to like not tell anyone my age. but I was good. I was good at it. So I've always been in this space for a while and part of my upbringing. But you know, once motherhood hit and I had my third baby, I lost myself. And I lost my own self-confidence. And I had like this breaking moment, because I'm from Michigan and we have basements in Michigan. And I was in my basement on the cement floor, like forcing myself to like work out, you know, in a way that I probably shouldn't have been. My baby was only probably like 6 months old at the time. And I just started crying and sobbing. And I was like, who am I? Like, who did I become? And I started just having all these just terrible feelings. And honestly, it was because my stomach, I'd gained so much weight. It was hitting the top of my thighs when I was doing like this move. And I was like, what is that? And I lost it. And then I started thinking like, if I think this of myself, does my partner think this way of me? If I'm disgusted, does that mean he is too? He must be. How could he not be? And I had a moment where I was like, you're either going to rise and learn from this and grow, or you're going to sit here and this is the way it is. And you're going to throw a pity party. And I decided to rise. And everything I started changing with like how I ate, how I spoke to myself, the therapy I got involved in, you know, how I had to relearn how to work out, all of that changed. And I was like, oh my God, this is working. So I started like training my clients in a different way. And then I put it all together into a program. And that's how Bomb Mom became, you know, like what I do and what I specialize, but it's all from my own personal struggles.
Melissa, it's so hard to believe that because you're just so confident, a beautiful body. Like for our listeners, we presented at Podcast Movement together. She's an incredible panelist. We were on a panel together. And also like people were following her because of like, she's charismatic, but also her body and how great she looks.
Oh my God.
It's hard to think that like you struggle with it. And I think it's wonderful that we're talking about it because oftentimes people think that they're alone. Like I'm the only one that gained this weight. I'm the only one that feel this way. And sometimes people, the kind of recipe, the things that like other people in the industry recommending them, it's not working for them, right? That like the lifestyle, the changes, the exercise. So it's fantastic that you specialize in this. Sometimes like some woman that's also a mother that like been through this. How do you like, since you're working with so many women, how do you think that body image is connected to women's confidence, how they show up in their relationship?
Oh, it's directly connected because when a woman doesn't feel good about herself, she doesn't feel good about that relationship in certain ways. You know, she's going to be hiding or closing off or not sharing. And it takes a lot of guts and communication to be able to communicate to your partner too and be like, I'm not happy with myself. You know, and if you have a good, loving relationship, that partner's going to go, what can I do to help? And a lot of women aren't saying that. They're just trying to hide. I can't tell you how many women come into my program and they're like, I just want to have sex sometimes with like some lights on because they're having sex only in the dark or with clothes on, like fully clothed because they're so not confident and they don't like their body and their image. And it's sad because then that means that's, reflecting and going right into their relationship and then probably how they show up as a mother too. You know, you're short, you're not getting any recharging by having orgasms or pleasure, and then you're not going to the gym and working out and sweating and lifting. You know, it just all comes together and it's so sad. It breaks my heart every time I hear that.
Absolutely. And, you know, people feel that, you know, it's like my partner, if I gain weight, like they're like not attracted to me anymore. And we tell our stories, that's not accurate. So it's my experience that when women are, or men investing in their health and kind of moving their body, like their sexuality, their sexual health completely changes. And there are two things when I think about self-image. There are things that are within our control and there are things that are in a way outside our control. I want to hear your thoughts. For example, when we go through premenopausal changes, menopausal years, our body might change. So what are some of the kind of unique challenges that like women and men in this age group can struggle with when it comes to fitness and health?
Well, first of all, we have to accept what our body is. So example, like if you are built like a Saint Bernard, you know, like maybe your dad's 6'7" and you're his daughter and you look just like him and you're just built like a Saint Bernard. You're not going to become a poodle. And we have a lot of Saint Bernards who are trying to become poodles. And I'm like, no, first of all, you have to learn to love and accept who you are right now and what your body type is. And I have a lot of women that are just like, oh, my thighs are my trouble area, you know, and I just did this before and after contest, and all they're all submitting their after photos for the last 3 months. And this one woman, I mean, she's got hips and a booty, and she's got like this flat stomach now, and she's like all ripped and flexing. And she's like, I'm just working on that other part. And I'm like, why? You have all the right junk going on in all the right places, girl. Love that. And she just like looked at me and was like, no one's ever told me that before. So just struggling with accepting your body and for what it is and things that you can't change and where you're blessed in areas and where you're not, that's a huge part. And learning to know that, like, even the images you see on magazines and social media, it's filtered, it's Photoshopped, it's not real, and it's messing with how we love ourselves and how we show up, you know? And then when you start getting older and we start talking hormones and menopause, I think a lot of people right now are just laying down and dying. And they're like, this is just the way it is. And that is so not true. You do not have to lose your libido because you're 47 now. You know, like, you don't have to lose that drive. I just had another client the other day, and she goes, like, I'm entering menopause. I went to my doctor and I told him I don't have any sex drive and I have this going on. And they told her, well, this just comes with the age. Just learn to accept it.
No. How invalidating.
I know. And luckily she has us. She came back to the group and she told us. And I mean, we're just like this whole power squad. And we're like, what? Fuck that doctor. That ain't true. We're like, you need to do this and talk to this person. We're just like giving her resources and tools. And she's like, I feel so much better. And we're like, no. You can be hotter at 47 than you were at 27. So those struggles are real. And we're fighting against like the medical community of telling us this is just the way it is. And that's not true. As you get older, you can get hotter.
You know, you brought up such an excellent point. Like, as you know, like, I also work in the world of eating disorders, and many women and men are struggling because they're trying to change their gene, their history. My listeners know, and you know, that I'm Middle Eastern, right? Like, I'm Middle Eastern, I'm built a certain way, and there's no way I can change my gene to Swedish model gene.
Right.
That's like a different category of people. I'm not saying like they're gorgeous, but everybody is like different. And it's like, if I want to look certain way, then the only option is eating disorder and like compromising my health and my mental wellness and everything. And I think they're not necessarily people being honest about it. Like, I appreciate that you're talking about kind of like enhancing what you can or focusing on health, because in society, like, they, like, the way that fitness industry portray that everyone can look like this particular gene, particular age, and that can lead to lots of disappointment for people.
So much disappointment, because then you're just like running on this hamster wheel of trying to achieve something that's not ever going to happen. And we create like vision boards and dream boards and stuff. And because those tools help build confidence, they really do. And I'm always warning women, be careful if you put another female on your dream board. I'm not saying you can't cut out someone's legs or, you know, something that inspires you, but like, don't go and put a woman on there that's 22 and has never had any babies, you know, or someone that's like not even married. Like, and it's hard to know a certain model or someone that you cut out of a magazine and what their background is. But I'm like, if you don't know, don't even mess with that in your head, because it's just not worth it, because you're trying to be someone who you're literally living two totally different lives. You know, one of my fitness, I don't know how to put her. Like, I look up to her. Like, she is just my model. Like, I love her. She's had four kids.
Wow.
And she looks amazing. And she has worked hard to look amazing. So I have no problem putting her on my vision board, you know, but it's, you just got to be very, very careful. And the world that we live in, it's constantly like just in your face. And then it just messes with our own.
I agree with you. And I think that not having the information about what people are going through to have certain body, we all have seen the new Calvin Klein model, kind of model and kind of campaign. And
I was reading the kind of stories behind it, the kind of starvation that came with it, all of those changes. And I feel like we see this like for women, for men, and think, oh, I can achieve that. Only if I can do two more push-ups, I'm almost there. But like, tell us, how can we know what you said, like about our body type, know our body type, but what's realistic? And what is something that is just like something we have to work on acceptance when it comes to health and fitness?
Your size for sure. Like I'm 5'9". You put on some heels, I'm towering over everyone with or without. Your height, you just got to accept that. That is not going to change. So if you're shorter, you know, and you're 5'3", 5'4", your weight is going to be distributed differently on your body than someone who's taller and leaner. You just got to accept that. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't drop body weight and look amazing at 5'4" or 5'9". You know, don't put yourself in a box. But one thing that's cool is I always tell women, because a lot of women come to me and they've been in shape, but it's been since before kids, years. And they don't even know what it looks like to be in shape after motherhood or really launching their career, you know, and getting swamped, you know, sucked up in that. And I tell them, like, you know, it's really cool. We don't even know. We don't even know what you're going to transform into yet. That is neat. And they're like, well, I want to be this weight and this body fat percentage. And I'm like, yeah, but what if your body fat percentage goes down and your weight never changes? Are you open to that? And they're like, well, I never thought of that before. And I'm like, so just be open to what your body can do. Be open to that number not moving or moving a lot, you know, with your body fat or your muscle. And that's okay. But, you know, there's a lot of things where just structurally too, like my shoulders, I have big, broad shoulders. I can't just go and find any dress. Like I can't zip them up. It's not because I'm fat. It's because I have lats. I have big back muscles and I've worked hard to be able to do unassisted push or pull-ups. That's something I just have to accept. Am I going to stop doing pull-ups so I can fit into dresses? No. But I was told over and over again by an ex-partner that you are just too broad. You're too big. Don't ever wear like a racer top, halter top, tank top, because you'll just look way too big. So that programming got put into me and I had to learn to let that go. And that was just his opinion. That's not fact. And I had to learn to let that go. So I've accepted my back. I've accepted my shoulders. And man, let me tell you what a relief it is when you can just accept the way your body is and then just improve it certain ways, give and take.
And that can be more motivating, right? Kind of thinking about, okay, yeah, this is something that I can enhance. This is part of me that's beautiful and can accept. And that can help people to feel more motivated versus kind of thinking about, I have to transform everything about me. And kind of like that helps people, like leads people to kind of hide parts of themselves that can be beautiful, because your body, like I know we're a friend, like it's gorgeous. Shoulder, I can only imagine that, like someone saying that, like it changed the, like not show off those like beautiful part of your body. But I think you brought up such a great point that sometimes our partners also been impacted by the society's scripts, right? That, you know, like in order for a partner, for a woman to look beautiful, they need to be petite, like spinner, whatever it is in their mind. And they want to kind of like directly and indirectly pass those messages to their partner.
So, I'm just laughing because you're so right.
I see them every week in my office, and like, you know, the guy kind of like saying all this kind of like constructive feedback to their partner. And it's like impacting their relationship, their sex drive, because now the partner doesn't feel they are the attractive. So how can we kind of like shield ourselves when it comes to all of this messaging, whether it comes from our partner or our society, so we can be more resilient?
Mm-hmm. And that's hard from your partner too, like, because that's someone you're supposed to like love and trust. And then they're telling you these things and you're like, well, this person would never lie to me. This must be truth. And that's really, really hard. One of the biggest things that I think, oh, women especially, we need is like our own therapy sessions. We need not couples. I mean, go do it. Great. Awesome. But I think our own therapy sessions is number one. Like I tell all of my clients, I go if you have access to it, you go, because that is a safe space for you to really unpack things that are being told to you, that you're hearing, that you're seeing, and someone else on the outside can help you figure out what's fact, what's opinion, because we'll take that in and then that will completely change us. And the more that we learn to love and accept ourselves how we are right now, the more you're going to be able to kind of have, I say, like Wonder Woman wristlets, you know, her shields that she can like bing, 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 and like shoot off like negative stuff, no matter who throws it at you, whether it's your kids, you know, unintentionally, whether it's your mom, whether it's your significant other, people that really love you, they say things that hurt us. You can just block it, you know, protect yourself. But you have to start doing the work and practice at getting confident and showing up for yourself and just not caring what anyone thinks. But that will not happen overnight, you know, and your best protection against all of that is going to be improving your overall confidence and doing the work on the inside and the outside.
I love that, because sometimes people think about, if I only work with a trainer, I do the program, I feel better. But I have clients in like world of eating disorder getting smaller and smaller, and their confidence level is not changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it can be a journey for many people, right? Like, it's like sometimes you arrive at where you want to be, and then like you have a kid, or you do something, and or you do IVF, like all sorts of things, and your body changes. What can we do? How do you recommend people to work on loving their body, kind of like internalize that feminine energy, kind of be present for life as they're going through this journey of changing their bodies?
Yeah, they have to go hand in hand. Like, you have to do the work physically. Yes, go to the gym, lift weights, get a trainer. Awesome. But you have to do the work mentally too. If you, and I have seen this from my 20 years experience in this field, in this industry, and being a trainer, like if they don't go hand in hand, you will lose the battle. You will drop weight, get smaller, and probably be even more unhealthy. But say you do it the right way and you are healthy and stuff, your mind won't even know how to support that. Your mind won't be in a position to love that new body, and it will fight to get back to what's familiar. And then we see self-sabotaging behavior happen too, you know, and people are like not going to the gym as much. They're making worse food choices. They're drinking more. And they just think, oh yeah, life's busy. Everything's going down the drain. And that's not true. You actually didn't do any work in the head. So you're letting the body go so you can go back to like your starting point, because that's nice and cozy and familiar. One of the best things that you can do is, like I said, with a vision board or a dream board, like tools like that, and journaling and having post-it notes. Like, my clients, we are post-it note freaks. We have affirmations and sayings to ourselves all over the place. Everyone's got dry erase markers in their bathroom so they can write on their mirror. And I know these tools sound super cheesy. Like, I am fully aware of how cheesy my approach is with a lot of stuff, but I'm like, how else do you expect to train your brain? Right? We would use a dumbbell to train our arms and get stronger. We have to use visual cues to start training our brain. Even if we're like, I don't know if I believe that yet. You know, some of your affirmations and work that you could do, you could just say, I'm open to loving myself. I'm open to feeling better today. Not, I will love myself. You know, that's totally different than saying I'm open to it. And seeing those things every single day. Right now, I have a group of clients starting, and their job every morning is to wake up, stand 6 feet back from the mirror, not up and close, 6 feet back. And they have to list 5 things that they got going on. Like, what you got going on today, girl? 5 things. And our vision and our perception changes at 6 feet. So if you're up close, you're like, oh my God, I look terrible. But if you get back, you see yourself in a whole different perspective. Now, some of them are struggling with this. Some of them are like, I came up with one. And then others are able to rattle some off. And then others are like, I said them, but I don't know if I fully believe them. And I'm like, that's okay. Make the words come out of your mouth, hear it, learn it, and slowly start taking it in. And if you do this on day one, by day 30, and your body's just, I'm going to look at myself, I'm going to say something positive. I'm going to look at myself, I'm going to say something positive. That does a chemical change in your brain. It starts connecting different wires in your brain and your body. And the two start connecting, the head to the body start connecting. And then you're like, I feel a little bit better today. I'm going to go to the gym. You can't stop me from doing that. I'm going to make a better food choice today. And it's amazing that it all started with a cheesy sticky note on your mirror.
Well, it's a practice, as you said, right?
Yeah.
That I think like sometimes people think that they have to say like statement that's very far from where they are, right? That I love that you're saying that kind of start with neutrality, like something that feels like doable, maybe slightly a stretch, but doesn't feel like you're not totally leaving it. And you're right that with repetition, with training your mind, it can help, like helping you to even recognize, like throughout the day, look for the kind of thing that you do about you, like what you do that's attractive, the parts of your body that's attractive. And I know for sex, like how you feel inside, it's the main thing, right? And I know that many women are worried about getting on top, about their stomach, about like what their breasts look like. And for the most partners, is about how you're showing up, like the enthusiasm. I know we were talking about in your show, the enthusiasm, the confidence, and it does magic regardless of if you're size 0 or size 12. So that's really important. The other thing that's important to know that, as you mentioned, every stage of life has its own, requires its own toolbox. So when we're talking about people in the middle age, like premenopausal, menopausal, what are some of the considerations they need to keep in mind when they're thinking about dieting?
You can't do what you did when you were 20. That's the number one thing, physically and with your nutrition. And we could get away with a lot more sugar when we were in our 20s. We metabolize things different. Our muscle mass was increased. When you get older and you're starting to get that perimenopause, menopause stage, if you haven't been on top of your muscle, it decreases. Every year you're fighting it. So that's why strength training and weight training is so important, because you're not looking to get huge. You're just, at this point, you're just looking to maintain what you have to not get smaller. But that muscle mass and that size is so important at that age, because you can burn more calories at rest with the higher muscle mass you have. And if you're not playing sports, or maybe you don't have younger kids you're running around after, or now you're higher up at your job, so you're sitting more, you know, you're not doing other busy work. You want as much muscle as you can to help counteract any sugar you are eating or bad choices or anything like that. And it's just going to keep everything else in your body flowing a lot better. But sugar's a big one, is we don't process it the same. We're losing muscle mass. And believe it or not, you need more calories, especially if you're increasing your muscle. The whole, oh, I'm just going to eat a sandwich for lunch and then, you know, maybe some soup for dinner. Like, that does not cut it anymore when you're older. Like, you are a different beast, and you have to learn how to feed that beast different and train her different and dress her different. But you have to learn it too. And that's a whole trial and error. You have to see this worked, or sometimes there's a month where you're like, that didn't work at all. And I encourage all of my clients to track their nutrition. I hate saying counting calories, because that just sounds so old school and like gross, but you do have to know what you're consuming on a daily basis, especially at that age, because, and most women don't. Most women come in and they're like, I have no idea. And then I don't know how to help you. So once you start tracking, it gives you an idea of like, oh my God, okay, I eat this many calories a day. Nothing changed over 4 weeks. This is what I eat just to maintain. Okay, didn't gain, didn't lose. That's important information to know. And then if you want to start cutting back on body fat, now we have an idea. Okay, let's scrape 200-300 calories off of that, but make sure your protein is high and we're not feeling hungry all day long and starving, you know, then let's see what happens. And sometimes women are like, I felt like crap. I was sluggish, you know. Okay, that was not the direction to go in. But you don't know until you try. And a lot of people just rely on what they did when they were younger. And I'm like, it's not going to work now. You have to relearn. And that takes work and practice all over again. But it's so worth it.
Right. And kind of having a baseline where you are, what you're doing. And I love that you talked about kind of like weight training. So kind of like shifting the perspective that you have. When it comes to lifestyle and kind of like diet change, premenopausal, menopausal, one of the things that I've, at least I've noticed more recently, is intermittent fasting, that they say it's helpful for women. When they say women, I'm always skeptical because it seems like all the research been mostly for men. And
it has been.
It's like then like apply it for women. It's the same thing. But what's your thoughts on fasting?
Oh, it's incredible. Like, it's absolutely amazing. It's super helpful if you're traveling, you know, you're not at home or you're somewhere and it's just not the best food choices. Like, it resets every cell in your body. It improves your gut health, your immune system. It's anti-aging, like so many things. But women cannot fast like men. We have to watch our cycle. So, example, like, day one through like 11 of your cycle, day one being first day of period, you should be going for a longer fast for sure. 16, 17 hours, 18 hours. Once you hit 16, 17 hours, autophagy happens. And now you're starting to have cell turnover and you're getting rid of the yucky and the new's coming in. It's really, really fascinating. So anything above that time period. Then we start going into like a nurturing phase and your body is like releasing different chemicals and hormones. That small window, no fasting, 12, 13 hours max. And then you have a good fasting window. And then again, just before your period and your cycle, no fasting. We want to eat sweet potatoes and more carbs, high protein, different colors of the rainbow, and really nurture that progesterone. So we have a good cycle. See how it's like up and down, and it's like you fast and then you don't, and then you start over again. And if you don't have a cycle, if someone's like, well, I don't even have a period because of birth control or just where you're at or your age, you get to pick your day one. Like, you get to pick your day one, and then you can just follow along as a normal like cycling woman, but you get to pick that. Turning it on, fasting a long time, and then turning it off, no fasting, is really important, especially for women. But a lot of people just, oh, I just fast every day. Like, I just have a fasting lifestyle, and too much of anything isn't good, you know, anything. So too much of fasting, not good. You need those days to eat. So I just had this conversation with my brother and I'm like, oh, you got it easy. You're a man. You can pretty much fast whenever you want for however long you want. I said, but just make sure you turn that switch off. Make sure you're having days where you're not fasting. Because cells love to be turned on and turned off. So that was a really long-winded answer.
No, I love it. And that's what I was curious about, because I see all of these trainers, all the men, kind of, as you said, like fasting more frequently. But I heard for women, like, depends on their cycle.
Very,
so I think what you said, that really resonated. So for our listeners, like maybe women in kind of like premenopausal, menopausal phase, that they want some change to feel better about their body, what is the one thing that they recommend from implementing today?
Oh, weights, 100%. Now, if you're doing nothing and you're like, oh, I'm doing anything, what's easy? Walk. Like, it's the best thing you can do for your body is walk. I mean, we have endless studies that prove it prevents breast cancer. It prevents it from coming back. Like, the studies that we have on breast cancer alone and walking are through the roof. It's insane. So just walking alone will start changing those chemicals, endorphins in your body. So number one, but if you really want to know the secret sauce, it's lifting weights. And I don't mean you have to go to the gym and all Lululemon and go to sit on a bench next to all these sweaty dudes. Like, no, you can invest in weights for your home and just set aside 20 minutes where you're picking them up, you're pushing them over your head, you're doing some curls, you're squatting with them. Like, start slow for like a good 3 weeks, like get consistent with it. But I'm telling you, if you want to see changes to your body and you want to look good naked, because that's my goal. I don't want to look good with clothes on. I want to look good naked. Like, that's my goal.
Amen.
Totally naked. I don't care. I'm out there. And that's always been my goal. And that's what I work towards. The only way to get that, I'm telling you, is through resistance training, 100%. And then once you feel good about it, and you're like, I feel like I don't look as stupid. I've been doing this in my home for 3 weeks now. Get a gym membership, because now you can go on machines. You don't necessarily need a spotter. You know, you're kind of locked in. It's a little bit safer. Everything has a picture now and it shows you how to do it. And honestly, if you ask someone at the gym, like, hey, how do you use this? They'll be like, oh, just like this. Like, no one's going to think you're stupid. That's all in your head. That's totally in your head, but work your way up to that and your body will transform before your very eyes.
I agree with you. And I always loved running and the marathons. And like when I wanted to kind of like focus on health now, I hear the same thing that you're saying, that like from lots of expert gurus, like fitness gurus like yourself, that like it's about weight training and focusing on muscles. And I think one other thing that I love is that mentorship. I've been enthusiastic about learning about health all my life. But I think like, for example, at my gym, kind of like big men with bigger bodies that they're under 20, I feel like they have no idea.
Right.
The most likely what it takes for someone like that's a different phase of life with different demands that like to do things that helps them to kind of like achieve the goals that is realistic for them. The reason I'm saying that, I know you have a program and I know that you mentor other women. So tell us about what you do, where can people find your content? So they're curious if they want to learn from another woman, what are some of the resources?
Yeah. Oh, it's the only way to go, because when you're out there and you're trying to create changes, the world is going to throw so much at you to keep you from doing it. And then we throw our own stuff at us and keep ourselves from hitting our goals. Having that environment and that coach that supports you, and other people are just like you in that program, it's why I left the gym floor and I only do online now, because I can help the mom in Wisconsin or California. And I couldn't do that before. And we use technology in a beautiful way to bring everyone together. But with my program, it's a little different, because we are tackling the mindset aspect, the vision, the nutrition, and the workouts. Most are, you get this workout app, you know, you work out, we're going to check in on you, and that's great. But what happens when you're feeling really depressed and anxious on a Saturday night? Who do you turn to? We have the support to help you, because that usually leads to binging and then a really crappy Sunday. And then guess who's not showing up on Monday? So we have a team and we're doing challenges. We're coming together, and the women are learning over a long period of time. This isn't a 6-12 week thing. I mean, you start off 3 months minimum and then we jump into our next 6 months. So we're talking like 9 months just to start. You get to go through holidays. We have women that are like, I've never experienced a Christmas and holiday season like this before. They've all gained weight before. We have a lot of CPAs and tax people. And they're like, every year I put on at least 10 pounds. Because I work with like boss, badass women who are like partners in corporations and stuff. And now, and they work with a lot of men. And they're like, I'm the one in charge now. And then they get to come to our group and be more feminine, you know, and be in their feminine, because they're surrounded by that all day long. But that's how and why I created this group, is because I don't do Band-Aids. No more Band-Aids. I used to. I'm not going to lie. I used to be a Band-Aid trainer. But like, here's your program. Here's your thing. See you later. Give me your money. Not anymore. Now it's an investment in yourself. You're not an expense. So whenever you're looking at a gym membership or a coach or a program, you have to remember that you are investing in your health for the rest of your life. It's not an expense.
Love that. Love that. And I know you also have a podcast, right? That you talk, yes, about health and wellness and all the tips and tricks that you have for other women that they want to feel confidence inside and outside. And what's the name of your podcast?
Bomb Mom. I say it very Michigan-y. I say it a lot different than Californians, but the Bomb Mom podcast, who Mrs. Dr. Wally, who's been on twice now, so that'll be airing soon. But yeah, it's a great platform where we have other experts and myself talking about the real things and the real struggles that are going to get in your way to hitting your goals.
Beautiful. So we'll leave a link to all of the resource Melissa mentioned. Thank you, Melissa, for being so generous. It's always a treat to be around you. You like, I know you always inspire me, and I'm sure our listeners now feeling inspired. And thank you so much for all you're doing.
Aw, thanks for having me on.
As we conclude today's episode, it's important to acknowledge that many people feel a sense of resignation during the stages of premenopause and menopause, often neglecting their bodies and overall well-being. However, as we'll explore in the upcoming episodes, this can actually be the best season for your sex life. With increased confidence and autonomy, there is an opportunity to embrace and enhance your sexual experiences. Remember, taking care of your body through fitness and mindful practices can significantly contribute to a fulfilling and vibrant sex life. So don't let this be a time of resignation. Let it be a time of rejuvenation and empowerment. And before we go, don't forget to download our free ebook on how to increase your sexual desire. The link is in the show notes, and it's a valuable resource to help you navigate and enhance this stage of your life. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Sexology Podcast. I look forward to continuing this journey with you as we delve deeper into the best practices for a healthy and satisfying sex life.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.